When it comes to faith, when it comes to devotion, there are very few people that can beat my parents. They are the epitome of faith, just hardcore faith and devotion. And I guess my priesthood, and that I'm hanging in there, is probably a result of their prayers. So the other day when my mother said to me that she had it out with God, that didn't sound very funny to me. There have been intentions that have been close to my parents' hearts for years. And instead of things getting better, they just got a little worse. And so my mother said to me the other day, I spoke to God, and I said to her, and I said to him, are you deaf? When my mother said that to me, later in my prayer, I said to God, I said, you can answer her. I'm not defending you. Or here is another message someone sent me on Facebook. They said, there have been many people that God has put into my life just to suck them right back out. I read my Bible and I try to go to church, but I just feel empty, like he's not listening. I know he has given me many blessings in my life, and I'm thankful. But the heartache seems so much stronger. This is a person who has just been down in the dumps. So my mother and this message that I got reminds me of today's first reading. The very first sentences from today's reading, where Habakkuk says, how long, O Lord, I cry for help, but you do not listen. I cry out to you violence, but you do not intervene. Why do you let me see ruin? Why must I look at misery? Who is this person? Who's crying for help in today's scripture? Who is this person? I think this person is everyone in this church at one point or another. And then in contrast, you have Jesus' words in today's gospel reading. You almost want to laugh. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. If only if it was that easy. So now that I have put myself in a conundrum, I have to preach a homily, right? What shall I say? So three things for us to think about this week. First of all, let me talk about this reading from Habakkuk. The context for the reading from Habakkuk is the impending Babylonian exile. These people go into exile for about 50 years. But the prophet was disillusioned by two realities. The first reality is that society was utterly disregarding God's commandments. And he's just disillusioned with people, with society, with the leaders, everybody. But his greater disillusionment was the fact that God was being a bystander and that evil prevailed. And he couldn't believe it. So he cries out, how long should I see this misery? Now, the advantage that we have is that we can look back at what Habakkuk was going through and how the story ended. We can look back, Habakkuk could not. In other words, folks, when we feel frustrated like Habakkuk, there is no magic solution. When we go through life and it's discontent, there simply isn't a magic potion we can take. It simply means that life has got to play out the way it is meant to play out. In fact, isn't that what God says to Habakkuk? He says, wait. Is there an answer? Well, maybe not for us who are going through the situation, but when we look back at life, that answer makes sense. Our disillusionment with God is not a sin. In fact, our frustration, our disappointment, or our disillusionment with situations in life or life itself is simply part of our human condition. There's no other way to look at it. This is human life. This is how life is. When we feel that God does not hear our prayers, it is not because God is powerless. Or it's not because God doesn't care. It simply means that human life is plagued with limitations. That is our human condition. Sometimes the mulberry tree is got to stay put. Life is life. And God is God. And as people of faith, we have to continue to believe that God is still our destiny. That's the first point. Not too much good news there, but that's the first point. Secondly, the promises that Jesus made, what shall we do with them? The other day I was in a faith sharing situation and I said to my group, I said there are three things that Jesus should have never said. He should have never said, ask and you will receive. Okay? He should have never said, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Jesus should have never said that. And thirdly, Jesus should have never said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, it'll obey you. This third one doesn't work. I've tried it. Folks, more people feel like Habakkuk because we have these promises made by Jesus. So why did Jesus make these promises? Because, now this is my reflection. This is not from any book. This is just my life and my reflection. Jesus made these promises because part of our growing in faith is to learn to look at life from God's perspective. It's just part of our faith. Listen, when Jesus makes this promise, these promises, Jesus is saying, you've got to make your will known to God. That we have to do. And how do we make our will known to God? By telling the mulberry tree to move. That's how you tell God how badly you want something. But we must also be prepared to let the mulberry tree be where God has planted it. Now, this was Jesus' own approach to life. Things did not go as he would have willed it either. Jesus faced a lifetime of disillusionment with society, with people, even with his own family. And when he faced the cross, he said, "Take this cup away from me." In fact, his mulberry tree became the wood of the cross. But he knew, Jesus knew, that when his will was not fulfilled, it did not mean that God rejected him or that God was uncaring about him. It did not mean that God loved to see him suffer or was inflicting pain upon him, but rather that the story of salvation must be played out this way. In making the promises that Jesus made, he was not setting us up for disillusionment. That's not what he was doing. But rather, he was teaching us that in life, faith means allowing God to be God. When the disciples say to Jesus, "Lord, please increase our faith," that's the kind of faith they want increased. When life happens, faith means allowing God to be God. And thirdly, and probably this is the most hopeful thing, sometimes, in fact many times, we are the answer to other people's prayers. God has given us a mission. Sometimes God works through us. So I want two stories for you. So the first story is a story of Laura and Rico Rufino. They are from Orchard Park, New York. Okay? Wonderful couple. They have two little girls. But one day, very sadly, Laura's friend died, leaving four daughters behind. Without a single thought, Laura and Rico took these four girls into their house, and overnight, a family of four becomes a family of eight. The mulberry tree does move sometimes. These children found a home because someone decided that they are going to be an answer to somebody's prayer. God answers our prayers through one another. We are the hands and the feet and the heart of God. To the extent that we don't do what God is calling us to do, God can't answer prayer. Here's a second story. The second story is of Christina. She was dumped by a fiancé and was left to start all over again in an empty apartment. So she orders a couch, but for some reason this couch did not come. So she and her credit card got cancelled in the process. So this is a messy situation. So she calls her credit card company, and on the other side of the credit of the customer service representative on the phone picks up the phone, and Christina is talking to her about her credit card problems. This girl, her name is Tanya. Tanya not only listened to her, but encouraged her, gave her free miles to travel somewhere for a little vacation. And when Christina came back from her vacation, there were flowers waiting for her. Now I'm saying, not a big deal, but what responsibility did this customer service representative have to encourage someone else? None. But look at the goodness of this person's heart. Recently, these two people met on TV. That's how I came to know about the story. The mulberry tree does move sometimes. But the people who move is you and I. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, please help us to be you to other people. Lord, please when we are the answer to someone else's prayers, please give us the strength and the courage and the willingness to move the mulberry tree. Folks, I believe God is very real in our lives. If we as people of faith can see the history of our salvation and have the courage to wait and allow God to be God and help each other, a lot of mulberry trees will move. Dear God, as we participate in this Eucharist, please help us. Please increase our faith. People of God said, Amen.